248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. A hot mic moment from Chris Christie in New Hampshire before dropping out of the GOP presidential race. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
He was heard on a hot mic talking about his fellow Republican presidential hopefuls. He said he spoke to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis called me. Petrified.
And said this of former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley.
She's going to get smoked.
One person died today in an avalanche in Lake Tahoe. Placer County Sheriff's spokesman Sergeant David Smith.
At this point in time, all search efforts have concluded, and we have come to the conclusion that there is nobody else up on the mountain.
And the Crimson Tide is turning. Longtime University of Alabama football coach Nick Saban is retiring. ESPN first reported the 72-year-old's calling it a career after 17 seasons and six national titles leading the Tide. Saban also coached LSU, Michigan State, and the Miami Dolphins. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials are urging pregnant women to get vaccinated after 580 children in Wisconsin age 2 and younger have landed in the hospital with RSV. Three of them died. New RSV vaccines are also recommended for adults 60 and older. They can be had at clinics and pharmacies. Doctors are urging people to get shots for flu and COVID, too. The Wisconsin legislature will have new political boundaries this year after December's state Supreme Court ruling. Governor Evers says it's a big step toward a more fair and functional state legislature.
We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 11th. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin will have a series of meetings at the ADRC CW in Wausau. The Finance Committee will meet at 8:45, the Central Wisconsin Board meeting at 9:30, and the Executive Committee will meet immediately following the board meeting. The Central Oaks Academy Governance Board meeting will take place at 2, and the Student Wellness Committee will meet at 4. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 4:15 in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Wood County Library Board will meet at 6 at the Lester Library in Nakusa. In Portage County, the Justice Coalition will meet at 8 a.m., and the Agriculture and Extension Education Committee at 6. In Adams County, the Board Rules Committee will meet at 9 a.m., and the Highway Committee at 4:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
It's the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's now number 15th ranked Wisconsin against Ohio State tonight. The game in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center. Number 11th ranked Marquette at home taking on Butler. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys Sunday. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites to win. Matt LaFleur still has confidence in his defense.
When we have all 11 doing their job and playing as one, there's been some pretty good performances. It's just whether it's communication or somebody has a missed assignment, that's when bad things happen.
Now, the first time Mike McCarthy faced the Packers, the Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead. As Aaron Rodgers led the Pack on a 31-28 win in overtime, McCarthy had this to say.
We were totally in control of that game, as far as our viewpoint, and I felt when we got the ball that we were going to go down a score and then see what happens. So I'm very disappointed for the players because I thought they definitely did enough today to win.
That's Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a cloudy sky overnight, and lows in the low 20s. High near 30 for tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. Current temp is 30.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
What is up, Wisconsin? And welcome to yet another Maggie Dawn show, somehow missing Maggie Dawn. Like a tuna can you open with no tuna inside, like a day without, I don't know, baseball. Is there some phrase like that? I wasn't told until 5 minutes ago that I would have to speak on air. So this is what you get. It's not law school professional. It's not even technically on air professional. It's just what happens when you let the producer run wild until there she is. There's our girl. Hello. Maggie, how are you? Welcome to your show.
Oh, busy, busy day. Thanks for getting her started for me, Anya.
I try.
The blessing of live radio includes that it gets people like me to places on time. So thanks, everybody, for your patience. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, but a few programming notes before we get crack-a-lackin'. If you enjoyed hearing from Professor Kathleen Eden, she's going to be back with us on January 23rd, on January 24th, the very next day, I'm going to be joined by my former colleague and good friend, Joanna Frotchek, who's a lawyer and also an immigrant. And she's going to tell you and me and us a little bit about her journey. But really excited to say that I've got a Civic Media exclusive interview coming up on Monday with outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, who has been the DA in this county since 2006. He's been given some pretty candid interviews on you, so I'm looking forward to that.
And one more time, what day is that?
That is this coming Monday.
All good.
So everybody put that on your calendars, and you're not going to want to miss that. Of course, Civic Media is going to be broadcasting the Packers playoff game coming up. That's going to be interesting because first of all, the Packers' former coach is now the Cowboys' coach. So that's an interesting patina on that matchup. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be all across the Civic Media radio network. We've got our Kenosha and Racine stations carrying it. If you need to find a place to listen to the game, do not worry. Civic Media has you covered. Just go ahead and download that app. You will find the Packers game there for you. Today, I think we're going to have a really interesting exchange, all of us together now, because I'd like to talk about Dr. Claudine Gay, the former Harvard University president, who, along with the presidents of three other Ivy League universities, testified before Congress when hearings were commenced and convened to address anti-Semitism on campuses. And I'm not sure, Anya, if you were able to find that sound. She does have it. Let's just take a quick listen. This is Representative Elise Stefanik asking Dr. Gay a pretty particular question. Let's take a listen.
There is yes that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It may be no.
So that's really, in various ways, shapes, and forms, that's what all of the college and university presidents that were testifying before Congress that day said. Interesting little side note on all of this. MIT's president remains in place, which is interesting. I believe the rest of the presidents have resigned or been removed after that testimony. Interesting side, sort of inside baseball, if you are interested in this sort of thing. There has been a flurry of industry gossip amongst public relations consultants and lawyers about who the heck advised these people to answer these questions this way, because that was terrible, right? I mean, give me a call, 844-967-2789, if you want to get in on our discussion today, because I think lots of people are going to have various perspectives on this. And there's a couple of subtopic areas that I want to get into, but it was just fascinating to me as a legal professional when I heard that testimony. I thought, who the heck told them to answer the question like that? Like, that's terrible. Calling for the genocide of any people should violate whatever the heck policy you want to talk about, especially if it's directed at historically oppressed and marginalized groups. Like, that's not good. And it certainly should be possible on a college campus to be able to engage the complicated discussion of the history of the Mideast, of the problematic aspects of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who operates in many ways in an authoritarian type model, who tried to strip Israel's Supreme Court of its oversight powers. We can have that conversation. We can criticize Netanyahu's military response. We can do all of those things. We can talk about whether or not a two-state solution is possible. What does that mean? We can have complicated conversations. In fact, we need to have them, don't we? But being able to have complicated conversations means that you sometimes have to get the simple stuff right. Because if you don't get the simple stuff right, people stop listening. And the simple answer here was that violates Harvard policy to call for the genocide of Jewish people. That's the answer. So I think the failure of those presidents to know in and of themselves to answer the question that way, even if they were advised poorly by their PR experts and their legal experts, they answered the question poorly. Now, of course, these things intersect with free speech rights. Because here in the United States, it's not illegal. And in fact, we protect some of the most abhorrent speech that you can imagine. And so there's a question, are speech codes even appropriate on college campuses? That's a question I'd love to hear people talk about. And so while I don't actually think Dr. Gay's answer to the question is incorrect, right? What she's saying is, if someone just gets up and says that, something that is that disturbing, it likely would violate the policy if it is accompanied by other aggressive actions, a history of hateful behavior and speech, all these sorts of things. In other words, it poses a threat to the academic environment, to the safety of other students. But as a pure matter of First Amendment jurisprudence, right, people can say terrible things, call for the genocide of people. And that's protected speech. Now, universities are, these universities, MIT, Harvard, I think it was Princeton, and who else was there? I mean, I'm forgetting. MIT, Harvard, Princeton, and I think it was Penn. Those are private institutions. Those aren't state universities. So they can make whatever rules they want. It's not the government acting there. which is why they can have a speech code. You won't see similar in most public universities. So, do I think that Dr. Gay's failure to respond to that question in a way that was would resonate appropriately, did that merit her firing or being forced out? I don't know. I don't run a university. I'm not in higher education. So that's not my judgment to make. And I think people can make arguments on either side of that one. But the other thing that I want to talk about, so a question to you all, should there be speech codes on campuses? Right? How does that impact academic freedom? How do we prepare young people to be able to engage with complexity? Frankly, engage with people that say offense things that they find deeply offensive. And doesn't this sound a lot like the debate that we're having about book bans on the other end of the spectrum? Right? So it seems to me that frankly, people on both sides of the political dial seem to be quite situational about when they want to protect speech and when they don't. It seems to me that people on both sides of the spectrum in these questions seem to be pretty selective about exposing young people to challenging and sometimes offensive, upsetting content. So there's a lot here. Should there be speech codes on campuses? One of the things that I wanted to reach was what I think is clearly a pretextual reason, meaning a garbage reason, a reason that sounds good but isn't the real reason, that there was a pretextual reason to forcing Dr. Gay out. And the pretextual reason was that she plagiarized. And I'm going to talk about actually how academics publish, what peer review actually entails in higher education, in part how professors and other university leaders are compensated, how those things figure into all of this. And I'm going to actually get down to the brass tacks of how frequent plagiarism occurs, that plagiarism isn't a point, it's not a narrowly defined set of things, that there's actually sort of a spectrum of plagiarism and academic dishonesty, that, you know, that all allegations of plagiarism are not the same in their seriousness. And that this is, frankly, totally well-known and accepted amongst members of the academy. And so I want to hear from you. Did you attend a university or college that had a plagiarism policy? How was it enforced, if at all? Was it just part of the honor code or code of conduct for the university? Because I just think that this issue has been completely misrepresented in the press. I think the dialogue around this has been woefully inadequate. And to me, at the end of the day, Dr. Gay stands as a premier example of the phenomena that I myself have experienced, that when mistakes are made by women and people of color or LGBTQ people in positions of leadership, authority, and power, those become fatal. When the same or worse conduct or mistakes by old white dudes gets graciousness, understanding, and excuse-making. Keep it locked, everybody. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789, here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
And I'm crazy for loving.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Go ahead, give her a call, 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn handled their congressional testimony. If you think there should be such a thing as speech codes on university and college campuses, how do we square that with the First Amendment? Want to hear your thoughts if you attended a university that has a plagiarism policy. Most of them do. Any experience with getting it enforced? Many of you may know, if you're a regular listener here on the Maggie Dawn Show, that I have a master's degree in applied economics. Applied economics is basically like mathematical econ. So you learn all the concepts and theories of the fundamental principles of micro and macroeconomics. And then you actually have to learn and demonstrate knowledge and proficiency in the mathematics that proves up the economic theory. So yeah, it's a little weedy. And you have to complete a thesis, a master's thesis, and then defend it. It's like PhD light. It's a prerequisite to going on to get a PhD or a doctor in philosophy. And in fact, my work on my thesis ended up being published. I was a co-author on that work with the professor who helped oversee my thesis and the research project that I based my thesis upon. Pretty unusual to be a master's student and get co-author credit, but it was a wonderful surprise. And I'm very thankful to my thesis advisor, Dr. David Clark at Marquette University, that helped me with that. I say all of that as background to just share, I have some knowledge and firsthand experience with the way academic publications work. So let me explain. Typically, to get your work published, if you are a university professor or someone that is in a tenure track to become a full tenured professor at a university, to do so, you need to publish a lot. And what qualifies something for publication basically is one thing. It has a lot of elements to it, but it's one thing. You are moving an existing theory of your particular specialty forward by showing new and different, typically quantitative analyses that relate to a particular topic. Or you have basically a brand new idea or theory or research body of research that you've conducted that you're sharing, that sort of blockbuster, changing the field in some way or moving it, revolutionizing, moving the field forward. There's an idea of it has to be your new idea, your new way of analyzing, a new application of prior research models. It has to be your ideas. That's the core of what is required in academic publications. So how does that happen? If you think about various specializations, it's like, hasn't everything under the sun been written about Keynesian economics? Turns out not. That's what academics do. They try to push the bounds of their particular specializations. They try to see if theories still hold up. It's a kind of a version of scientific inquiry, if you will. But typically, professors and folks on a tenure track to become professors work with research assistants who are typically graduate level students to conduct new research. And then they have those graduate assistants write up paper drafts that the professors then review and submit to various academic journals. What makes a journal academic? A journal is like a magazine that publishes academic papers. Yes, if you're all yawning, that's what most people would do. And here's what. The vast majority of academic papers published in academic journals don't get read much. There's hundreds and thousands of these that get cranked out every year because you get compensated as a professor and you become a full professor with tenure protections based on your publication volume and the prestige of the journals in which you get to publish your original thinking and research in. Do you see where I'm going with this? So they have research assistants and graduate students typically actually do the work and some of the number crunching and the writing. They then submit these things to these academic journals that review the paper. And they are supposed to be reviewing the paper to make sure that it is indeed original. It's a brand new idea. It's a new analysis. They're moving that particular specialty forward. They're supposed to check the data validity. They're supposed to check it for plagiarism. But who sits on academic journal editorial review boards? Any guesses, right? It's professors, right? Other academics in the specialty. They get compensated to do it. But guess what professors don't want to do? Spend a whole lot of time reading volumes and volumes and volumes of submissions to journals. So who do they give that work to? Guess what? It's their graduate research assistants. Guess what graduate research assistants are doing? A ton of work. They may be teaching courses, grading courses, writing the work for professors, doing the research for professors, and then reviewing the paper submissions that a professor is responsible for because they sit on a journal's submissions committee or their editorial review committee. Research assistants get worked to death. I know I was one. And so what happens is you have people who have not been in that particular field for very long. They're brand new academics in their field. For me, mathematical economics. And it is these newbies that in many circumstances are the ones that are reviewing the journal submissions. Okay. And keep in mind that the incentive structure for folks on tenure track and full professors is publish. You've heard this phrase, publish or perish. This is what it refers to. So you've created an incentive system where people are compensated based on their publications. And that system is fueled and largely the work gets done by very new green graduate students in these various fields. And I'm going to throw this last log on the fire, and then we come back from these important messages. I'll tell you what the implication of all of this is. And then on top of it, take this fact. The number of academic journals in the United States has exploded in the last 5 years. Just exploded. I don't have the statistic at the ready, but it's something like doubled or tripled. So when we come back, I'm going to stitch all of this together. And we're going to talk about then what plagiarism is and the systems that actually promote it, allow it to go unchecked. And then we can talk about and understand selective enforcement, selective punishment for so-called plagiarism. And indeed, that is what happened to Dr. Gay. I am Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esser. Go ahead and give us a call. 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in a moment on this edition of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Yesterday was by far the snowiest day of the winter season in Wisconsin so far, but Muscadet got the most snow of all, 12 inches according to the National Weather Service. Plain, Benton, and Dodgeville in southwest Wisconsin were also in the double digits. Madison got 7.5 inches, while Green Bay got closer to 4. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Experts fear things will get worse as more rural areas get developed.
Roads, fences, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Jerry Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. The federal government is rolling out a pilot program.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer! To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Snaps off another three. Booked it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Welcome to the Badger Shootaround.
From Value City Arena in Columbus, welcome to our Badgers pregame show. On the road for Greg Gard's team, winners of four straight, trying to continue their winning ways against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Badgers, the lone unbeaten team in Big Ten play. Lo and behold, Purdue has two losses. We'll get into that a little bit later in our pregame show, but Butchie, it's one of those games we have seen teams look really good one day, not so good the next. Ohio State coming off a tough one against Indiana, but we know they have a couple pretty impressive wins on the resume. When they're right, they can be really tough.
Well, they can, and I think the biggest thing tonight when you look at it, this is a road game for Wisconsin. The hiccups that you've talked about by Purdue, by other teams in the league, has happened on the road. That's conference play. And that's where the challenge for Wisconsin becomes. Ohio State has a lot of threats. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. We know Battle's going to, you know, take and make a lot of threes. And then what happens in the perimeter and how do they guard the action that Ohio State's going to get into? But I think the paint is going to be very important for Wisconsin. Ohio State has some athletes down there. They're going to try to protect the rim above the rim, but if you're able to get into them, that's an area that I see that Wisconsin can really take advantage of.
Yeah, Felix Akpara, one of the prolific shot blockers. Only Cliff Amori of Rutgers has more rejections in Big Ten play. The Badgers have been very profitable getting points in the paint compared to the opposition. We're about an hour away from the opening tip. We'll check in with Chucky Hepburn. We'll hear from head coach Greg Gard. Up next, Jesse Temple of The Athletic. This is the Badgers pregame show, Badgers basketball from Learfield.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote? Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey friends, Mott's Matt here for Brewpub Latte Mott's Pizza. You know, so many people are stuck in the moat of mundaneness when it comes to their frozen pizza choice. Same cardboard crust, flavorless sauce, second-rate cheese. You know, all the assumptions of a frozen pizza. Well, it's time to ditch the downer and throw out that theory by diving into a Brewpub Latte Mott's Pizza. Thin, cracker-like crust, a bold, tasty sauce, high-quality meat and veggie toppings, and bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese. There is nothing humdrum about a Brewpub pizza. See for yourself. Snag one today from the frozen pizza section at your local grocery store.
There's no better time than now to join Badger men's basketball at the Kohl Center. Secure your seats today and be there as the Badgers face off against Big Ten rivals all month on their home court. For more information on Wisconsin men's basketball and to purchase tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
For generations, hardworking people have relied on Ford F-Series trucks to help grow businesses, communities, families. A legacy of capability and technology that has made Ford F-Series America's best-selling trucks 47 years straight. This is the next generation of built Ford tough. Based on 1977 to 2023 calendar year total sales.
Our pregame coverage continues. As always, we visit with Jesse Temple of The Athletic. And so, Jesse, you have a piece in The Athletic currently running right now on this new and improved Badgers team. Certainly new in some areas, not so new in others. Give readers a little tease here. You did a pretty good deep dive into why this team has been better so far this season.
Well, the first thing that's obvious if you watch the Badgers is how effectively they've been on the offensive end. They're averaging 75.8 points per game coming into the Ohio State game. And I think if you looked from a national perspective, you might say, what's the big deal? Because they were outside the top 160 in the country in scoring offense. But if you know this program, you know that doesn't happen every year around here. And in fact, it's the highest scoring team the program's had in the last 30 years. And so what the story was about was, why has that been the case? The personnel has a lot to do with it. You go get AJ Storr out of the transfer portal. It was the perfect athletic wing that could add a different dynamic. But what I found most interesting, and I had a chance to talk to several players as well as Sharif Chambliss and Greg Gard after practice last week, is that Greg was telling me how he had changed or made tweaks to the offense. And what they do now is a lot of on-ball screening. It's an on-ball kind of continuity screening offense. And while he said it was in place before, now they're running it more consistently. And all you have to do is watch the games to see how frequently they're setting these screens on the wing and in the middle. And it's just boosted everybody, because you have Chucky in situations where he's got the ball and Steven Crowell, and you're seeing the results of it. But I think Greg deserves a lot of credit for the changes that he made that to the naked eye you might not notice, but clearly is having a big impact.
Yeah, he's really good at this type of thing, coming up with little tweaks, maybe getting some ideas from someone like a Kirk Penny. But he also has the tools with which to utilize what he's trying to do as well. And one of the most important assets of a coach is the ability to recruit. And I thought it was interesting you started the piece with Sharif Chambliss. Who you find and who you can find to be of the right fit is as important as just about anything, right?
Yes, and timing is everything too. That was another fascinating element to this, is Wisconsin lost to North Texas in that NIT semifinal game, and the Badgers went the last 9 minutes, 7 seconds without a point to turn an 8-point lead into a 2-point loss. Well, they're sitting on the tarmac waiting to go back, and Sharif is scrolling through his phone, and boom, AJ Storr is entering the transfer portal. And he knew a little bit about AJ from having watched him in high school, but Sharif told me before they took off, he'd already talked to his contacts at Bishop Gorman High School, where AJ briefly attended. He'd already talked to AJ's dad, and he had already set up a meeting with AJ and his mom. And timing does have a lot to do with it, but the interest was mutual, and it's had a big, big impact not only on the Badgers, but on AJ, which was a big selling point when Greg and Sharif and the staff was talking to him about, hey, we need you, but I think you need us too, because we can develop you, and you're seeing the fruits of that labor now.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Joe Krabbenhoff, talking with him last week, and Greg has said much the same thing. Someone of his ability, Storr's ability, they really love coaching him, and he accepts the coaching as well. So that, I know he's obviously very talented, but he's very receptive to coaching. Another thing that Greg says a lot, Jesse, is that college basketball has more parity, and maybe by far, than any other sport, at least at the college level. And we're seeing that in the Big Ten, where Purdue, which most will tell you is the best team in the league, now has two losses in conference play after really kind of getting throttled. Maybe not kind of. They were throttled last night at Nebraska. What do you make of that?
Well, it's funny, because those two losses, Northwestern and Nebraska, you would think in most years, do those teams have any business hanging with or beating Purdue? And the answer this year clearly is yes. This is what Big Ten basketball is about, and college basketball in general. You've got a lot of teams that are going to beat each other up. And Wisconsin has only played three conference games, and this is what I find fascinating. Somehow the Badgers are the only team in league play and have not lost a game. You've barely even played in the Big Ten season. So I think that speaks to the parity that is in place. And Wisconsin, to me, the way that the Badgers are playing right now, having won 10 of the last 11, they are might be the best team in the league. And to me, it's only a short list of if they're not first, they're second. And based on the way they've played so far, that's why they're in first place.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. The Big East is like that, too, which many consider the best conference in the country. There are no unbeaten teams in conference play there. I think we would agree that Marquette is really, really good, but it already has two league losses. So I guess as a consumer, whatever, we don't want to make too much of a team in a given night, but I think it does back up Greg's point. I mean, you could this tournament, looking ahead in 2 months, could be every bit as wide open as it was last year.
Yes, that's always the case. And it's funny, too, because I was asking Sharif and Greg about this and some of the players as well. Is it tough not to look ahead when you have a team this talented? And Greg says, if you start doing that, you're going to trip over what's right in front of you. But I think for the fans and even media members, you see what the talent is and you think about what's possible for this group. But you do, as Greg says, you got to take care of January, February, and in December too, just to give yourself a chance in March. Things are trending in the right direction, but you could see what happens in any given night. That's why you have to bring it.
Absolutely. He's Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Stay with us. More to come on our Badger pregame show. Up next, our spotlight. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Normally, when we do a commercial, we talk about all of the options a Cleary building has. We talk about storing your toys or using it for a workshop. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'd like to salute our remarkable team for giving the customer service you deserve. From our engineers to the folks pounding nails, we are proud of each and every one of them, and we think you will be too. So instead of talking about plenty of space for your vehicles, I hope you will give the best in the business a chance. Cleary Building Corp, since 1978.
At Shields, we know the basketball season is a full court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
All
Our pregame show continues. Time for tonight's Badger Spotlight as we check in with junior guard Chucky Hepburn, coming off a 13-point, 6-dime performance on Saturday afternoon against Nebraska at the Kohl Center. So far this year, Chucky's averaging about 9 points per game, but that really doesn't tell you the story of what he means to this team. His all-around game continues to blossom. His assist-to-turnover ratio has just been outstanding. We'll get into that in our conversation. Clearly, he set the bar high as a freshman. Most remember him notably for that banked in three that beat Purdue and gave Wisconsin a piece of the Big Ten championship. But his growth has been fun to watch. I asked him about his evolution as a guard at the college level.
When I first stepped on campus, you know, I was still trying to, know my role, get to know my role, you know. Just watching Johnny and Brad just do their thing out there, you know, just start, shine. So, last year I picked up more of a scoring role, and then this year it's kind of back to my freshman role, but I'm doing it at an even higher pace, a higher level now. So, you know, just how my body's transformed, you know, I'm able to do that on a higher level.
Well, one of the things that's really easy to notice just looking at a stat sheet is your assist to turnover ratio. As we speak, it's better than 3-1, actually better than 5-1 in recent games. I've talked with guards in the past. That's the first thing they look at when they look at a box score. Is that how it is with you too?
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, I really don't look at the box score as much, but, you know, one of the things I do really take very serious is my turnovers. You know, I want to be able to score every possession down or at least get a shot up at the rim, you know, every possession. So, you know, I really try to minimize as many turnovers as I can.
Well, the one thing I don't want fans to forget here is that I know that you can distribute, you can defend, but when you need to score, oh, you will. I mean, there's something about closing time, too, that's absolutely always been appealing to you, right?
Absolutely. You know, this year, I haven't really been looking to score as much, especially now that I'm coming back off this injury. You know, I've been just trying to facilitate, but, you know, once I get that flow back and I start scoring and still know how to facilitate, you know, it's going to be a very problem.
When you're coming back from anything, you mentioned a couple minutes ago about, you know, how you've transformed your body. You really, when you have games where you're playing a ton of minutes, that bounce back, is it a lot better now than maybe what it was before?
Oh, yeah, a lot better. You know, I'm doing a lot better job taking care of my body, no stretching, you know, down in my apartment when they have a little exercise room. So, you know, just doing the little things like that to keep my body in shaping and, you know, in good health. So, yeah.
When you control diets, and I know we talked about that before this season, at first it might be a challenge, but now it's just part of the everyday lifestyle for
you.
Yeah,
definitely
now.
Part of the everyday lifestyle. You know, during the season, you know, definitely got to eat more because, you know, you lose so much calories, you know, working out and practice, you know, running up and down, so just try to eat more protein as I can.
Everybody, every fan walks away from a game, there's always a moment or a couple of moments. When you think of the recent game against Iowa, walk us through it. We're off of a turnover, you're coming down the floor, you got AJ trailing. I suppose your eyes are kind of like, here we go, we're going to give the fans a little show right here, right?
You know, as soon as I got the ball, I immediately turned to AJ. I seen him running down with me. I didn't even hear him say anything. He told me he said something, but you know, I just seen him running down with me, and, you know, got it. It's fun to do that, you know, get the fans on their feet, you know, get them up a little bit, and then that gets us active on defense, you know, so we're just constantly trying to look for the ball. The next position, we come down, and I didn't even know he was running with me again. If I would have known that, I would definitely would have done it another time, but, you know, just trying to get the fans engaged in the game, you know, that's what we try to do best.
The art of the steal, I've asked you about that multiple times. How much of that have you been coached over the years, or is it just more of an instinct, a basketball instinct that you've always had?
Yeah, it's definitely a basketball instinct I've always had. You know, I've always been coached hard to play defense, but, you know, when you're playing hard on defense, you know, those instincts kind of just come naturally, and, you know, you just kind of look for the ball. You're just hungry for the ball, and you just really want the ball.
The depth of this team has been really impressive, and when you and I talked preseason, you wanted to try to avoid those close games, yeah, if you could. Like, teams will rally. You guys have had a knack when if a team makes a run where you guys can punch back. I mean, it's been a pretty noticeable difference for this team.
Absolutely. You know, that's what I love about this team. You know, we know that there other teams are going to make runs. You know, we know that. But, you know, it's our job to make sure we make a run back and we push it. We make the last run, not them. So, you know, that's my what I always try to tell the team, my teammates, and, you know, that's what we do very well.
Final thought. I've asked a couple guys about this over the years. When you get into the semester break, that it's actually a great time of year. You've, you know, the academic
pressures are off for a few weeks. You could have some team activities now and then, but it's basketball. So I'll ask you, is this one of your favorite times of the year right now?
Definitely is my favorite time of the year. You know, you just kind of get to practice and just hoop, you know, rest and get your body right. And just hang out with your teammates, like you said, and get to know them better. You know, we know each other all very well, but, you know, there's just like the little things, you know, in life, you know, just sure. get to you always learning something about somebody else every day. So it's just something different.
That's Badgers junior guard Chucky Hepburn, and that is tonight's Badgers Spotlight. Stay with us. Up next, our Badger Notebook, as our pregame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Into the building for the first time after the shooting, it was crippling, but it had to be preserved.
In response to the Pulse nightclub shooting that affected the LGBTQ community, Barbara Poma, owner of Pulse, founded the One Pulse Foundation to honor Pulse victims and survivors.
If you're an ally of this community, speak out. There are more of us together than apart. It is the power of love in its rawest form.
Join the fight for LGBTQ acceptance. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Big Ten game in progress right now. Penn State leads Northwestern 55-48. It's about 13 minutes left in that game in State College. Time now for our Badger Notebook with Patrick Herb. Well, you look at the KenPom tempo numbers for these two programs, and you're thinking, ooh, this could be a slog. Not necessarily, particularly the way Wisconsin has been performing with its offensive efficiency here so far.
You're right. There's been a big story about how Wisconsin's offense is so good, and Ohio State's got the similar thing going. They're actually averaging more points than Wisconsin this season. But you're right. These two programs have the longest average offensive possessions in the Big Ten. They are number one and number two. So while it feels like, wow, you know, they're playing faster, not necessarily, they're playing better. It's basically what this amounts to. But boy, are they. Both these teams are having historically good offensive seasons for their respective programs. To wit, Wisconsin scoring almost 76 points per game, on pace for the highest since 94. We've talked about that. Ohio State, 78 points per game. That would be their highest scoring campaign since 1992.
Jim Jackson.
Even further
years,
back,
huh?
The Jim Jackson era. Exactly. That team went to the Elite Eight. But what's special about these two teams is they've managed to do that while, again, while playing at that slower tempo. Wisconsin owns the seventh best offense by efficiency standards, the 320th ranked in tempo at 66 possessions per game. Now, that is two possessions faster than last year's team. So, yes, it is faster. It's also the second fastest tempo so far that this program has had since 1999 when KenPom started tracking this. So there is something to the fact that they are playing faster. But more importantly, they're playing more efficiently. They're playing better. Wisconsin's 119.6 adjusted efficiency offensively. Again, this is nerdy stuff, but just take my word for it. That's a good measure of efficiency. That would be their fourth highest in program history, again, back to 99 when this started going.
So talk to me about that, because like you said, it got a little nerdy there. And it makes sense, though, right? But when you talk about the efficiency, it's understanding. Tempo-wise is playing fast getting shots up quick. Efficiency means they're still being able to score, even though they're taking longer to score because of the ball movement,
sure,
ball screens, whatever, you know, efficiency in the paint, which they're really good at. So that's why that efficiency number is so high versus tempo so low.
And if you follow this program for a while, you've heard points per possession for a long time. Bo Ryan was way ahead of really this analytics revolution that we're seeing in a lot of sports, but basketball in particular with this points per possession. So his goal, and you know this more than anybody playing for him, was you want to be over 1.0 offensively and under 1.0 defensively as a team. So now when we talk about average adjusted efficiency, basically what that means is where you would be on that points per possession on average against an average defense. So if you played an average team in Division One and did it over 100 possessions, where would you be? Yep. And Wisconsin right now is averaging almost 120 points on those 100 possessions. So in simplest terms, it's kind of like saying that they're averaging 1.2 points per possession,
yep,
which is a terrific number. And like I said, it would actually be the fourth highest that this program has had in the last 25 years. Now, on the other side, Ohio State's got something really similar going. They're 22nd in the offensive efficiency category, but again, playing at the 276th fastest tempo. So again, they are being very opportunistic with the possessions that they have. Last note on this, and this will go back to some of the raw numbers, the points, but it's worth noting. So Wisconsin has scored 80 points in three straight games, including back-to-back Big Ten games. First time they've done that since the 2015 season when they reached the national championship game. If they could do it again tonight, tall task, we understand that. But if they can get to 80 points in three straight Big Ten games, first time since 1972.
Okay, so we talked about this, Matt, and it's one of those things. Why have they gotten to 80? Why do you think they've gotten to 80 when you look at this team? Because it's great to say they've gotten there two times in a row or
right,
three times
right
in a row. But what's the biggest difference?
A few things. High percentage shots. They're not taking many two-point jump shots. When they've lost this season, they've gotten in trouble with that. You guys have talked about
absolutely
that. I've heard it. Free throw line and free throw line efficiency, making, converting. And then they've got a point guard who I think is looking to set everybody up. Right? Let's transition into the Chucky Hepburn
but
appreciation
that's where
segment.
I'm going with it. Because
absolutely
understanding when you need to get into something.
Yep.
That's what you look at Chucky's numbers, and there's nothing that anybody's really, you know, talking about a lot nationally. But you look at understanding the game. How many bad possessions, back-to-back bad possessions, has this Wisconsin basketball team had? Not many.
Not many
they might
all
have one. I know we've said it, Matt, a couple times. Now, bad possession. Then they come down, Chucky makes sure that they run the right set or the ball finds the right person, and they get a basket. Like, that to me is the biggest difference as far as why they're scoring more, is that leadership by Chucky and putting him in the right situation has been the biggest difference.
And they've revolutionized their offense a little bit in the ball screen action.
Yeah.
And this has been written about and talked about, but you have to have the right leader to execute it. And so they've always had ball screen action. They call it Buffalo. That's a national term. But they've had so many now layers and actions that they can bring into it. And where you're seeing it most is when the clock gets to about 15. So they're going to run early action. They're going to get through their offense. When the clock gets to 15, Chucky is now calling actions on the fly. If you're paying attention closely, you could see it. He'll call out some sort of action off the ball screen, and then they're getting into it instead of just high ball screen, pick, let's see
what
happens.
Well, you could just say it, instead of hero ball, right? Like, pound the ball, right?
It's not sticking.
Right? Like, and then now that's the term, but I like to say kill the grass. At times that grass, when you pounded the ball in one spot as a kid, but nobody pounds the ball in the grass anymore. We got to get back to that a little bit.
So Chucky's Chucky's scoring might be a little bit down, but his assist to turnover ratio is incredible. It's one of the top five. Right now, it's on pace to be one of the top five in program history. For his career, he's in the top five Wisconsin Annals. And here's the stat I'll leave you with. I think maybe as impressive as any, he has more steals this year than turnovers. Think about that. When
that's
you're talking about
time
valuing possessions and winning possessions, that's big time out of your guy who's getting 30 minutes a game and has the ball in his hand a lot.
Yeah, as we heard from him a little bit earlier in this pregame show, he enjoys being that distributor. Now, part of it, you know, coming off of a little bit of an injury there, but the evolution of him as an all-around point guard, the bar was pretty high that he set for himself as a freshman, but just watching his all-around growth, that's been a big, big key for this team.
Well, as a freshman, you want to score the basketball.
Of course.
That's what young kids are taught. To make it in this game, you got to be a scorer. Well, we've seen Chucky develop and mature and realize I could be really good and not have to score the basketball.
Yeah.
And his kids can't come to that realization.
His three-point numbers are down right now, but don't be surprised if they get back to where they were. Last year, just over 40. The year before that, 35. He hit three against Nebraska. And one thing that I'm counting on is that his minutes are lower than ever this year, lower than the last 2 years, in a good way, that maybe he will keep ascending as the season grows instead of tiring, which we've maybe seen in the past.
All right.
We also haven't had a close game. The one game that was close, Chucky took over in the minute. We haven't really had a close game this
year. The closest game of the year, Chucky had all 10 of his points in the last 5 minutes.
He knows what to do during closing time when needed. By the way, I'm guessing two or three things have been tweeted about this. So Stevie Crow is out doing some warm-ups right now. Got a wrap on the left knee. He is officially listed as questionable, but he is going through the warm-ups right now. That is the Badger Notebook with Patrick Kerr. We'll take a break. More of our pregame shows coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.